Go Cast Network.
We got our music back.
Woo!
We got our studio back. That means we're in studio, everyone, with the About Last Night show. I am your host, Brad Williams, and my lovely Growing Up So Fast co-host.
Oh,
he's so cute.
Oh. We're so proud of you, Adam.
Thanks, Adam Ray. And that voice you just heard is our guest, and a guest that I've been wanting to have on for a while. And
since the get-go.
Yeah, and he has a brand new show.
Good thing you called me yesterday.
That's right.
How long have you been doing this?
6 years. That's not important.
Yeah.
That's not important. The podcast, we've had 190 episodes, and it's about time, you know.
I mean, hey, we had to get Mr. Belding on.
Yeah.
It's a strong move.
And then you were a close second.
Yeah.
There's Mr. Belding, Urkel.
I mean, can your
right?
Saved by the Bell stories top his? If they can, then maybe we can go back.
I didn't care for that.
What shows did you watch growing up?
Alf.
All right.
I just watch the news.
Oh, there you go. Our guest.
One fucking kid just says that.
Our guest, so we know who we're talking to right now, is Brett Ernst. Brett has a new podcast right here on our GoCast network called The Brett Ernst Show, because he likes to be very creative with his titles.
You've got quite a lengthy resume and a comedy background.
And friends. Like you guys. Hey. I've been on the road and done shows with
Brett. Yeah, Brett, you were on the Vince Vaughn Wild West Comedy Tour that Vince Vaughn put together all over the country. You've been on Weeds.
I'm going to be on the Adam Ray Tour soon.
Oh, yeah.
Shit. This kid's blowing
that's
up.
Not true Adam's at doing all, well. Man.
No, you are no joke, and that's not just because you're here. Both of our, one of our favorite comics to watch. Brett.
Well, because you've been doing it how long now?
It'd be 15.
15?
Yeah.
Strong 15, too.
Good 15.
Here's the thing, man. Here's the thing for me about your comic. Like, there's maybe two or three guys that I have done shows with that I can watch, that I will sit down and watch their whole show, top to bottom. Do you get that compliment a lot? Because there are, it's, even if you're, you know, you're always doing different shit, but it's like, you, would you consider yourself more of a storyteller than a...
Yeah, I mean, I guess more so like that. I mean...
You just have a very welcoming, inviting, like, you can, like, you know, you're coming from, your experiences and opinions on shit are very your own, but you make it so comfortable for anybody to get on board with, because, you know, half the time you're down on the stool, and it's just like, fucking people are just huddled around a campfire, fucking listening to you tell these great stories that are, you know, pretty insane and sometimes sound made up, but then you get into the details and you're like, that shit happened to him, that he definitely
absolutely
stole.
That's
a car.
The one thing I will take pride in. I don't make anything up. I have to embellish a little, or
of course,
because, you know, to protect the innocent. But
I loved it because we did a gig once up in San Jose State University, and that we had to drive up to it and, you know, save gas money, carpool it up. And
yeah, well, I mean, if I can drive and I can go with other comics, I'm all over that, man.
And then,
I don't care, bro. It's there's nothing better than being on the road with guys you're friends with, you know?
Sure.
Totally.
So,
and we had to flip a coin to see who closed. Did you close or did I close?
I think you closed. Right. Yeah, I think you closed. And, but the best part about that gig for me was having 6.5 hours stuck in my Mini Cooper listening to Brett Ernst stories.
And we had a strong iPod going.
All right.
What was on the iPod?
Okay, well, here's the thing. I have my iPod, but Brett heard like two songs on my iPod. He's like, oh, no, this ain't gonna
work. Yeah, because it was fucking AC/DC and the Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory song.
Which is the Lollipop Guild. The Lollipop.
Which is a great song. You've never fucked to that? Come on. Funny.
Speaking of which, we'll get to that. But go ahead.
But yeah, Brett hooks in his iPod. And here's the thing, Brett Ernst, you're a very powerful man, very intimidating man, strong, good looking Italian dude, and you listen to the most.
I love
how
you started trying to defend yourself, but you're like, I mean, well, yeah, no, you're all fucking, those are all accurate.
Not all that, man. Adam's better looking.
No, you listen to the most pussy music on the planet.
Well, that was what we did. Didn't we have a contest to see if we could, you know,
out-pussify
the music?
Now, who's now in each of your worlds, what is defined as pussy music? Like, I'm immediately thinking of some NSYNC, maybe some.
I got that strong.
Some Goo Goo Dolls.
It's something that, like, you know, because there's hacky pussy music.
Sure.
And then there's, like, you know.
Call Me Maybe.
But like Xanadu from Olivia Newton-John.
Sure.
That's my, I always pull that one out.
So you're a bit, so you're.
A place where nobody cares to go. They call it Xanadu. And
so a lot
you're giving
of,
me a heart attack.
So a lot of musical theater.
Huh? No, just music. I like all that, like all the shit my mom listens to, man.
Right.
I love it. Like she would put it on and clean when I was a kid. And you know, I love the 70s, 80s.
Totally.
And you're like into slow jams, right? Like,
oh,
like
now no, that I listen to for real.
Like
for
R&B slow jams?
Yeah, like Jodeci, Guy, oh, Troop. Yeah.
So
Boys to Men?
I love.
Still? No?
I love Boys
Come
to
on,
Men.
Come on, man.
So I'm like rocking out, like you said, to AC/DC, and then Brett goes, nuh-uh, this is my jam. And who can love you like me? Nobody. He starts playing that. I'm like, Brett, you trying to fuck me? What's going on here?
No money. You're the best, man.
Dude, that's the best, man.
And that, the band keeps playing on.
Maybe some, maybe some, what is it? All for One, I Can Love You Like That.
Oh, my God.
See, I liked El DeBarge.
DeBarge.
Who the fuck is that?
Yeah, he's great, man. The girl DeBarge, her father, Scroop. He was married to Janet Jackson.
How does the song go?
Sing us some El DeBarge.
Does it go?
I get no, you know what?
In the knees, I can hardly
that's SSWWVU. No, El DeBarge, gonna be in the rhythm of the night.
Oh yeah,
but their slow song. They have this song called "Time Will Reveal." Hey, Dirty Lithuanian, can you pull it up?
I don't know.
That's what I call him on my podcast. I refer to him as
well. That's his new nickname
the
now.
Dirty Lith,
or maybe it's the Lithuanian who's not doing his job.
Getting back, there's so much fun on the road, which is why I love. I have so.
When did you start doing the road? You've been doing comedy 15 years.
I mean, guys would take me to middle with them, you know, maybe 3-4 years in, but it was very rare and in sure. between. Then I did a lot of tours. I was on the Young American tour. Butch Bradley had a show we would do with a bunch of comics. It would be like me, Burt Kreischer, Sebastian Maniscalco, Jesus. Steve Byrne, Mike Young, Tony Rock.
Killers. Those are great.
Jesus, man.
Yeah, but we would all go on the road. Like, we would do these shows together. And
did you all know each other prior to this? Or
yeah,
just,
yeah, yeah, okay. yeah. You know, oh, and of course, great. I did the Vince Vaughn thing with Sebastian and Cap. And me and Cap been on the road a few times together. We used to go to San Diego. It was me, Cap, Sebastian, and Sam Tripoli.
Jesus.
And then we would all, there's just so many of those, especially those La Jolla
yeah,
games.
Yeah, you just want to go and have a good time.
Comedy store. Yeah, you just go with guys you want to have
What fun. About the road do you think makes you a better comic?
There's two ways to do it. You know, there's a term we use that's guys like roadie, you know, if
sure.
he's doing. But to me, what makes it better is if you don't switch up your material and you can sell it anywhere. And if you learn to sell it anywhere, then see, that's why I think the business is going downhill, man, as far as like a lot of the scripted program. Like, you know, you go in some of these meetings and they're trying to guess what people like and
yep.
Oh, they're like, well, how are you going to appeal? Yeah, how are you going to appeal to middle America?
And it's like, dude, we already do.
Yeah.
You know what I
mean?
We
go there with our jokes and we tell them, and guess what?
I went from Des Moines to Chicago to
right.
New York to New Jersey, back to Chicago, and now I'm in San Antonio next
Jesus,
week.
Jesus, that's all.
And you know, when you do the
sure.
road, you're everywhere, man. And
yeah.
you don't have to... There's people in general. They don't get comedy is just to me. It's about being real, and being as true to whoever you are.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
At what point did you kind of hone? Because since you are, you know, so much everything you're talking about is coming from your life. Like, did you hone in on that? Because obviously, you know, when you're starting out, you know that you're spending a lot of time trying to figure out your point of view and just your voice and everything. So, like, when did you go? All right, well, this is who I am on stage. Like,
it was
from
hard,
the get go.
Man.
Were you doing personal? Because when I first started, people were like, "Talk about your family," and I was like, "I don't fucking want to." Like, I don't like my mom's
Family's
annoying, and my fucking dad cheated on my mom, and my stepbrother's schizophrenic, and like, they're like, "Oh, maybe you shouldn't talk." About it. That's fucked up.
Well, no, it just depends, man. It's like, I mean, you start off the same way, but all my jokes are always based in being, you know, personal.
Right.
Sure.
In the beginning, you know.
Yeah, that's why it always boggles my mind when, like you say, you go into these meetings at networks trying to figure out a show and they go, okay, all right, you told us something that you think is funny, but let me tell you what's funny. You're like, no, dude, you sit here in an office in L.A.
And
go on the road every
that's
week.
That's the whole thing is that, like, back in the day, like, you know, the live performers, we perform this stuff all over the country. So there is no – we don't need charts and graphs and assumptions
sure.
and
right.
speculations, you know. As long as you're not doing, like, local jokes – you're not using local references
right.
in another town.
Right.
You know, right. you're not gonna go. I was at the Sky Bar the other day, and people are like, "What the hell does that mean?"
Ah,
like, and there's this other big misconception that people like to talk that, like, you know, everybody in the Midwest or the South are just slow. You know, they don't get things. Yeah. They're fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
Not just, I'm just saying, there's some of the smartest people I've met. You know, the dumbest people I can argue are here in L.A., man. I meet some really crazy, stupid people.
Absolutely.
Here.
That goes in the same line as when comics will, and I'm curious what your take is on this, when somebody will do, you know, not do so well on stage and then go, God, the crowd sucked tonight. Or they just fucking, and I'm curious how much of it is, you think, deflecting your own, maybe like maybe you just didn't bring it enough, or maybe you bailed out on some shit, or how much is going, which Bobby Lee would tell me early on. He was like, dude, he's like, there's some places I know where people fucking get me and they dig me and I go to those places. And he's like, and once I figured out, he's like, because then early on when you were just taking gigs everywhere, he was like, specified some locations that just didn't fucking like him. And so he wouldn't go there anymore.
What do you think on that?
Because I've definitely been on the road. Like, some audiences have been different, but I've always said that, well, it's your job to find a way, because we're lucky enough to be in a medium stand-up comedy where we can switch things up. We're not doing a concert where no matter what, you know, Bon Jovi has to play Living on a Prayer every night, and it's going to sound essentially the same way. We can do jokes in different ways and adjust to an audience and be like, okay, well, these guys are a little dirtier. They you know, they want to hear some swearing, or we can adjust to the crowd. Granted, there are crowds that are fucking terrible.
Well, I will say they're rare. If you have a crowd that allows you to perform, mm-hmm. you know the crowd can be the different can be the factor in whether it's a if it's going to be a phenomenal show or not. But
because there's a give and take between you and the audience.
Yeah,
and
I mean, basically, their give is laughter when it's right, and to shut the fuck up when people are trying to, you know, it's especially
it's a symphony of just the ups and downs and letting you milk pauses. And just
You can't. There's certain crowds where, like, you know that they're gonna talk in between a pause, like they don't fucking get it, and that really frustrates me.
Right,
but I don't have that much of a problem with that type of stuff because I am a storyteller. I mean, there are moments where, like, you don't want to be interrupted because you're going to miss something.
Of course, yeah.
And people fuck it up. But I can also – I'm not telling jokes. So if they don't miss the setup and then they don't hit the punch, you know what I mean?
Yep,
but
totally.
Or I can – the way my style is a little bit, it's more conversational. So I try to lay into them, but they can make it – fucking make the show not as good as it can be. Can they make it worse? No. And, you know, there has been times when you walk off stage and you're like, fuck, man, that crowd wouldn't shut the fuck up, man. Yeah. I mean, they're just chatty, and it's, you know, the worst are like bachelorette parties. And,
oh, my God. I don't know when it started. What started the whole trend of bachelorettes being like, hey, it's your last day as a single woman. Let's go to a comedy show.
Yeah, let's sit somewhere. We're supposed to be quiet for 2 hours.
Yes, because when I think of 8 women drinking together, the first thing I think of is, wow, they must be quiet.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, there are certain types of hecklers. Like women, and you guys know, women tend to be the worst, man. When they're drunk and they take everything personally and out, and then the guys, the way the guys do it, you know, there's always the guy that tries to be fucking, he thinks he can do it.
Yeah, he thinks he's funny, and then all of a sudden,
or adds tags to your joke. This weekend I had a couple different dudes that would call, like if I'd say some joke earlier and then start doing some crowd work, and then a guy would reference a joke from previous, and I was like, oh, cool. Was that you just trying to be funny? You calling back to the joke? It's like, yeah, I remember earlier when you said that. I was like, yeah, cool, I got it from here, man.
Yeah, because
you know what?
It got a laugh 20 minutes ago when I said it.
You kind of moved on now.
We're past that guy. Yeah, yeah. I will say this, though. You know, it's such a dichotomy, and I find this to be the same. The young chicks that are drunk, soccer moms, they want to yell out. They tend to be the worst audience members.
Yeah.
But chicks that are cool and that get it, they're the best.
They're the best. Absolutely.
They're the best. They're better than a dude.
Yeah.
They're better.
They're
going to
give
I mean?
So much more laughter, and they just.
Yeah, and they're just so much fucking fun, man.
Yeah.
I mean, like, when even enjoying
the show. Is it because
the
dudes are sitting there silently judging? Like,
guys are always in the middle. Yeah.
Every dude. Yo, every dude, comic or not, wants to be funny.
Yeah.
Like, hands down, man.
I mean, I don't know.
Why when you meet people after shows, sometimes they're like, yeah, you know, some, you know, I got, either if they're telling you themselves that they're like, you know, I do some pretty funny shit, or
I got some good stories, or
I got a buddy who's really funny. Like, his association with a funny person
makes him
valuable. No dude, like, dudes usually are in the middle. They're silently judging. And then there are guys that really give it up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure, totally.
But what I mean by that is, because you know, when a woman's drunk and she's just fucking horrible. Like, you know, it's her birthday! Nobody gives a fuck!
We all have one
of
those.
We all have one. You're not unique! And it's like, was it today? No, it was last week. We're celebrating. And they just have to interrupt, or she's getting, and then it's just such a distraction that you know, that even women are like, God, shut up.
Yeah.
And it's always that bachelorette party or that, you know. But again, not to reiterate that point, most women, when they're cool, they're so much fucking better to perform in front of.
Absolutely.
Because they get everything. They're laughing at everything. They're showing emotion.
Yeah, they're smarter, obviously.
Yeah, and they're not, they're not looking at you like the dudes do.
Like I could do that.
And when you talk, you know what?
And guess, yeah. And,
I got
and, and when you get them in a way that they, you know, when they like you, and then you can talk about, you know, certain things on both ends of like a relationship type piece of material, and maybe talking about things that they do, they're going to be a lot more. Like I could flirt
with them, essentially.
Dude, I had that's what's cool about Facebook is on your fan page, you can take your numbers.
Yeah, it's great for relationships. What's up?
Oh, yeah, right. No, I'm saying, like, you could take your numbers in and show what percentage of your fan base is what.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I have almost 70% of my fans are women. And
there
I do.
You go. Incredible.
And I do really, I wouldn't say male-oriented comedy.
That's awesome
I come from a male perspective.
Just
you know?
Dudes. I would just assume that it was you were going to say male because I feel like there's every dude because you're so likable with guys. You have so many things in common with, you know, to talk about. So that's incredible that you have such
there is nothing better than a cool chick.
I don't know. I'm staring at Brett's eyes, and now I know why it's all women. I'm just saying.
I meant more for the material, man.
Oh, okay.
Why you keep bringing up what I look like? It's awkward.
Well,
I told you, he's way better looking than me.
Brett's just happy to be looking at your eyes. Usually it's your dick, you know.
It's usually my knees.
Yeah, usually your knees. He's just happy to see.
Well, because, you know, you're a strong dude, tall dude, you know.
Everybody's taller than you.
Right in my face. Right in my face.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody's a tall dude to you.
Like, that's why I'm noticing it for now.
By the way, I have never, ever seen anybody fucking perform like this kid far as not, I mean,
we're
on stage.
We're talking about off stage.
Off stage.
Yeah, on stage is one thing, but
as Dove would say,
it's almost more fun to watch off stage.
As Dove would say, I respect this kid's operation.
His operation!
He's got a filthy operation.
Great bone structure.
Dove David off.
Yeah. So he said, it's just a filthy operation we got going in.
It is.
This kid's.
I know all the tricks.
This kid, I've seen him just.
No, you said you were in a place that I was recently.
Oh, yeah. So there's a Brad Williams clause at this club in Washington State.
Joker's Comedy Club in Richland,
yeah,
Washington?
Yeah, we've all been there.
Is that where it is?
Yeah, yeah. And apparently our friend over here was clipping some broad, like having sex with some chicken.
Now, when did you start using the word clip? I just have to stop real quick because you're known. That's like some people are known for their jokes and their.
I'll be honest with you. We used to say it like, did you clip something? As far as to take something when we were growing up, Mike Young, the comedian Mike Young, used that. Yo, did you clip this girl? And I've been saying it with for 10 years. So kind of, I guess I hacked it from Mike, even though Mike.
But if you guys were buddies. I
give Mike Young,
influenced your
Mike Young's credit all the time. Yeah, for that. Like we've been saying that shit. Well, he brought it up. Like we used to use it because I guess the term clip meant if you clip somebody meant you kill them.
Yeah.
But then if you clip something from the store, like we used to say that.
You stole it.
Yo, did you clip anything? You know, when we would leave, like, yo, I just. even as a kid, I just clipped a pack of gum. You know what I mean?
Jeez.
Just something.
That sound badass.
And then we were using it, and I don't know.
Did you clip a pack of gum? No, I was watching the news, man. I'm sorry.
I don't know where Mike got that from, but he said clip, and we just fell out. And I'm just like, dude, and we've been doing that ever since. And that, I use the word root, which I got from this kid, Mike Senator, I played college football with.
And root in a reference to a man's.
In a matter of fact, of his dick. gentlemen, that's an East Coast thing. This guy, Mike Ricca, used to say it all the time. I got it originally from I got in this altercation in Brooklyn, and the door guy came up to us. He's like, "You're gonna walk out of here like gentlemen," and it just struck me as funny, and it's kind of a Brooklyn thing, I guess, that I picked up on. But then Mike Ricca uses that all the time. He'd say, "I'm a gentleman. This guy's a gentleman."
There's something that you say all the time that I've worked into casual conversation. You say a long story boring all the time.
Yes, long story boring.
And I've definitely been guilty of hacking that in a casual conversation.
Like, that's all the shit I pick up from my friends, and even the way I talk, like the terminology that we would use. It's just, you know, how you group, you just more.
Of course, yeah, you get influenced by the people you hang
with.
Yeah,
like I always say, what else? Is a hamster is a good one. I think that's
hamster. What's
that's,
that reference to?
Like this kid's a hamster.
Meaning what?
Like he's a hamster.
He's a Jew. What does that mean?
He's a little furry guy.
Okay.
No, like he's soft. Like he's like, you know, oh, soft. You know, like okay. That guy that's like, I don't want it. Yeah, you know, this guy's a hamster. Or like if some kid's trying to act tough, you're like, this guy's a hamster. You
gotcha.
Know
okay. What I mean? So it's he's soft. Not he likes to stick multiple pellets in his mouth.
I think that.
So good.
He likes to run in a wheel. But anyways, getting back to you. So now we're in. We got time for this?
Yeah, I just want to turn my mic up a little bit.
Oh, yeah, we're good.
So I'm at this club, mm-hmm. and I'm working with Danielle Stewart.
Oh, great comic.
Yeah.
Love Danielle. She's been on this podcast before.
Yeah.
And we're in the back, and we're sitting there, and then these girls wanted to come in and say hi, right? So it wasn't like we were going to do anything.
It was after the show.
After the show. It was before the show, actually.
All right.
Okay.
So... the guy working, I forgot the guy's name, says, they could come in, but you can't be back here with them by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I don't want to. I wasn't looking to do anything like that.
Right.
And then I says, and he goes, yeah. He goes, we had an incident here with somebody.
He can't. Incident.
Did you admit, now, at well, one I'm, point, I'm, do you I'm, think of ahead. Brad at all when you hear
no,
incident?
Wait, no, wait, yeah. that's the payoff. Is that I'm sitting there going, what incident? Well, we had a comedian here that we walked in on him having sex with this girl.
At least we thought it was a girl.
No, it was a regular sized girl. Yeah. Like he clips regular sized bitches.
I do.
He clips regular sized.
As we fist bump, that's who I clip.
I always say, I go, what do you call them? High pockets?
Oh my God, HPs?
Yeah. Yo.
I
clipped his high pocket last night. No, so he.
That's such a good way to describe. You got to use that.
I'm now going to use high pockets.
You just throw it in your put that in your pocket. That's for you. No, so then he proceeds to tell me that I'm like, which comic? And he's like, Brad Williams. I'm like, what? And I said, he goes, yeah. He goes, oh, that kid clips everything. He's amazing. I've seen him naked.
Oh yeah.
Strong root, little Brad has.
That's what I've heard. I've not seen him naked.
It's nice on him.
Rumor.
We had a hotel room together. I tell you this, and I opened the drawer up, like the top drawer.
Yeah.
And I put a little pillow in there and like a blanket, like this is where you're gonna sleep. You know, like here's your bed.
I came out of the shower and Brett's like, don't worry, made you up a nice little bed
no,
here.
Here's your bed right
it's
here.
Good.
Pal. This is where you sleep.
You do all your clipping in this drawer.
In a drawer, and I just push it in. You can sleep.
But my socks are also in there, so try to make some space.
Dude, man, I guess there's a couple incidents for Brad. He's
he knows how, as Dove says,
he knows how to operate.
When I get off stage, I like to talk to women. I like to hopefully make something happen.
You're very forward too.
That's one of my secrets. It's not really a secret though, but I'm very forward because I literally don't think women look at me as a threat. Like when I say, "No, girl, I would like to bend you over and do bad shit to you," then they look at me like, "Oh, that's so cute that you think you can do that to me." And then it's like, "Oh, no, you don't understand. I can."
And he does. Yeah.
I can.
That sounds a little step ladder.
It helps.
So wait, let me ask you this though: are people in, like, do girls come up to you like almost like a fetish almost?
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, there was a woman at a show when he came back from Denver once who stood up. I think Brad, you mentioned how in a joke that every woman at one point wants to have sex with a dwarf.
Yeah,
and a woman stood up in the a woman stood up in the crowd and was like, yeah, and I'm fucking one of them, and that's why I came here tonight, like mid show.
Right. Is that? Yeah, that's absolutely true. She completely called it out and just said, no, this is why I'm here. I don't give a fuck about your jokes.
Yeah, and Brad wasn't about to be like, hey, you're disrupting the show. He was like, cool, nice to see you. Stick around. Let me finish this. Like,
yeah, this is the girl that said the weirdest dirty talk line to me of all time, and I've never heard anything that could top this. Brett,
like, call me High Pockets.
Brett, maybe you can, but in the middle of having sex, she, and this is in Denver, she yells out, fuck me like no Sean Moreno.
Who?
Fuck me like no Sean Moreno.
Who's that?
The running back from Denver Broncos.
Really?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, apparently she hooked up with no Sean Moreno, and she magically thought that I could turn my sexual prowess into a 6'2" black guy.
By the way, you just threw no Sean Moreno under the bus, so you better hope he doesn't have a wife or something, man.
I don't think he does.
Oh, you should have checked that before you should have Wikipedia'd that or something, man. You just fucking broke man codes right there.
This will be
not you dwarfs roll, but in the high pocket world.
Yeah. Starting next week, the About Last Night podcast will be my new co-host, Brett Ernst.
I'm kicked out for violating the man code. Son of a bitch.
No, let me ask you this, man. On the road, how do you occupy your... Like, I was in Tahoe this week from Wednesday to Sunday, and, you know, it's only an hour away, and it's nice, and there's shit to do outside, but, like... Man, there's a lot of downtime. I spent a lot of it writing and shit, but then there's only so many times you can go down to the fucking coffee shop, maybe go see a movie, try not to fucking gamble, you know, not eat like crap and all that bullshit, and which is why on the one of the nights, you know, I've cut back on my pot smoking quite a bit, but one of the nights I was like, you know what, man, I'm fucking, it's 10:30 at night, I'm writing the high of the show. You know, you get off stage and then just all of a sudden just, you know, nothing. Everyone leaves and fucking I had nothing to do. So I'm walking back to my hotel room and I start to smell a giant waft of pot coming from two doors down. And I was like, oh, shit, it's 10:30. I haven't smoked in a while.
Hey,
yeah, yeah.
Hey,
no, that's exactly what I did. And there's a very weird moment there where you're like, all right, well, how do I convey to this room full of strangers that, A, I'm not a cop, I'm not a piece of shit, and I'm not going to fucking kill them. So I knock on the door and I'm like, hey guys, I'm like, what's my opening line going to be? And I go, hey guys, smelled some weed in there. You got any more? And
I like just, pot too.
Yeah. And immediately I was like, that was the fucking not the right thing to say. And then I hear them all being like, what? There's some guy out there. And one guy's like, yeah, I heard he was like, yeah, I smelled the pot. Fucking whatever. Making fun of me. So then they finally open the door. I go inside and
did they see you through like the people?
Yeah, they're looking through the people, which is not a, you know, flattering angle for somebody to try to like figure out if you're a good person or not. And anyway, getting to the story because so I go inside, end up you know, shooting the shit with them, smoking for a while, and invite them to the show. They were there with a buddy of theirs who was getting married. They don't come to the show until 5 minutes before I'm about to close. Three of them stumble in, just fucking hammered, right? And this goes back to when we were talking about, like, you know, how do you you know, deal with shit like this. And so I immediately was like, oh, fuck. And these guys had told me to come to the show, but now they're hammered. So then I was like, well, I might as well tell the story that just happened the night before where I knocked on their room asking for pot. So I launched into this 15-minute story going back and forth with these dudes. And at one point, one of the dudes decides to tell a joke. And I videotaped him, and I want to play it right now.
You videotaped him telling the joke?
Yeah, and then we'll get back to you. I want to how you occupy your time. So this is the dude's joke. He goes,
because
this, you know, again, going back to people being like,
yeah, guys,
oh, this is funny,
especially
whatever.
Guys,
dude.
Yeah.
And apparently during the show, this guy whose brother told me that his brother wanted to fuck me, and he was getting married, and he was all coked up. He kept inviting me to brunch that like the next day. And so at the show, he's like, I was like, dude, your brother wanted to fuck me. He goes, yeah, he kept inviting you to brunch. I was like, is that how you do it in Chico? Which is where they're from. Here's the joke, ready?
Okay.
All right, go for it.
So I got a buddy, my friend Paul, that lives up here, semi-pro snowboarder, breaks on average 3 buns a year. The other day, a group of me and my friends, we were talking to, they're just going around talking about our friends and where they are financially and stuff like that.
What?
So, Paul,
yeah, before we go any further... You know it's going to be a bad joke when they're not even getting to anything. Then they're just doing
details that aren't pertinent to the story.
Hey,
he's a snowboarder. He's got bad posture.
Yeah,
you know.
He's trying to be funny. That's what he thinks in his mind.
Well, because like he prefers powder over the, you know, over the strong stuff and chairlifts. He has a little trouble on that. Like he's not even getting to anything.
Yeah,
yet.
Keep in mind, I was on the way out. He stopped me, being like, "Oh, one more thing." Which, if you're going to stop somebody from leaving a situation after you've done all your goodbyes,
you brought him on stage.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But this is the night
God.
Before in the
right,
room.
So go ahead. We don't want to.
Comes on the conversation like, oh, Paul's got this job at Heavenly. I was like, that doesn't change a goddamn thing. Paul's credit is
here's
so fucking bad due to his medical bills. This fool can't even rent a movie at Blockbuster.
Yeah, that's
killer.
Me high laughing.
Because he can't.
It's me.
Because he just can't afford it.
No, his credit's so bad.
That's his buddy laughing.
And that's his buddy thinking that...
Our government and our fucking...
Oh, good. Good thing you cut him off there. I don't want to hear his fucking political views.
So the punchline was this guy can't rent a movie at Blockbuster?
Yeah, because his credit's so bad. And then he dropped that detail about because of his medical bills. So who knows if he fucking was on, like, life support because he had
stage 2
Hodgkin's.
Well, because he's a snowboarder, I think.
Yeah.
Fucking idiot.
Jesus.
He's like, this guy's so...
And was the free pot worth it? I mean, was it worth all that, Adam?
I mean, I got a pizza that night. It was pretty good.
All right. Hey, you know what? You have to pay right for off. Things. Yeah. Nothing's free
exactly.
in life.
I know, man. Yeah. Yeah. Was the experience worth it? Of course, man.
You had to give him that his little 5 minutes.
Jesus.
I mean, the guy, his brother was getting married when he immediately found out I was from L.A., started launching into all these connections you want to hook me up with. He's like, dude, I know the guy who knows the guy who wrote American Pie. He's like, I also know a guy who owns a lot of porn videos. I was like, is this just a dude who owns porn, or is he, like, in porn?
You just tell him you know Brad Williams. And that's
I did.
And that's all you need to know.
That's all you ever need to know.
Pretty much. But it's just so weird to me, like, when guys start into these stories, I don't know what they're trying to accomplish. I don't know if they're being like, hey, I'm funny too, validate me. Because, if I ever meet athletes, I don't start going into like, hey, Kobe, let me tell you how I do a jump shot. Yeah, it's like, no, because you're pretty
this
good at that.
This one time I got a pretty good layup. I mean, they put me on a step ladder. But now, Brett, what do you do to occupy your time on the road?
Nothing. Just, you know, what's cool is certain cities, like, you know, I'll bring my my fiance with me if it's a cool city like San Francisco.
Is it Beyonce now? I didn't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hey, I'm buddy, congratulations, sir.
Yeah, well, I retired the jersey a few years ago. I'm done with all that.
Hey, you know what?
But not you.
But that jersey had a run. We are going to raise that
thing
up to the
Raptors.
You know
what? I'll be honest with you, man. I've never smoked weed. I used to drink a little. You know, every once in a while.
That's
why
you look so good.
You might meet somebody that you know, but it wasn't like I was just doing all crazy shit.
Yeah.
Right.
Because you never wanted to? You saw what it was doing?
I did. You know, it wasn't, I can't explain it, man. I mean, like, it was kind of not my thing.
Yeah.
Man. Like, mine was mostly, I used to love performing. I love being on the road. I don't like being, and again, I don't like being high. I don't like being drunk. I love every moment of it, man. And I like being in the moment.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've had fun on the road, but it's usually like pranks and stuff. Or,
yeah.
You know, I mean, and I'm not painting myself to be, you know, the Pope
not at all,
here.
Man. Nope.
You know, meaning I didn't bang little kids. No, I'm not, you know, I'm a good Catholic.
Yeah, yeah,
No, I'm
stick to the rule book.
Yeah.
I was watching.
No, but I'm saying, like, I don't do that. Yeah. I just chill, man. I'll be in the room. I sleep a lot, man. Yeah. I dominate.
Okay, so that's
you dominate sleep.
Yeah, but if it's a cool city,
you got to be well rested for your.
Well, here's
shit,
the thing, man. I got a lot of friends in different. Like, I can go to Chicago. I can go to obviously New Jersey, Nashville. Yeah. I got guys that play in. You know, friends I have.
What's the room?
Even
down there?
Seattle, man. Seattle's a great city.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, like, I have people. I've it's like certain cities I'll go into. And they all, you know, I'll go to their restaurants. We'll go out. People that I've had in like 10, 11 years I've been friends with.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure. And that's one of the cool parts about touring around is you get to say, yeah, I got buddies in Denver and I got buddies
like real friends, like guys that we've kept in touch with, man.
Yeah. It's weird because when people say, like, what are your favorite cities to go to, I'll say, like, some obscure cities. Like, I love Columbus, Ohio. I was just
Columbus
there.
Columbus is dope, man.
Yeah,
are you kidding me?
I love Columbus.
By the way, right? Stroop's one of the good guys, man.
Yeah. Dave Stroop runs the Columbus Funny Bone.
Yeah, he's incredible.
Books a lot of comics, does really well. And then people say, like, why is that your favorite city? And honestly, I say, well, because the hotel's next to this mall.
Yeah, it is.
and when you're on the road, it's amazing how comforting seeing a Crate and Barrel is.
Oh, dude, are you kidding me? Dude, walking by an Orange Julius or a Quiznos, you're like, oh, God, yeah. Turkey Ranch and Swiss. It's so good to see you.
Sure.
My crazy, like, I've had some great, one of my best experiences was in Nashville.
What's the club there?
Zany's.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Brian Dorfman, he's the other owner. He's the owner of that one. Him, Bert Haas, owns the one. Like, there's certain club owners that you just have these relationships with over time.
That you know,
and there's some club owners you could do it out. But there's certain guys that, you know, will stand out.
Yeah, yeah.
Dorfman's one of them.
What was the experience in Nashville?
Oh, I had one of the best times ever, man. I came through there. It was actually, I was working with Jimmy Fallon.
Oh, shit.
But he didn't want to advertise himself because, you know, he was working out some things. So
it was like Brett Ernst and then Jimmy would feature, or did
Jimmy was middling, but he didn't advertise himself.
Oh, wow. Okay.
God, what was that reaction like then? People went ape shit.
Wait, let me tell you this. Now, not only that. Okay, I get there. And by the way,
that's great. That's all our time. Brett Ernst is our guest today.
Guys, that's
thank
my time
so
right
much
now.
For having him
thank
on the
you.
Show. I'm sorry.
All right, first of all, and I'm not just saying this. Jimmy Fallon could be, hands down, one of the coolest cats you've ever met. Fuck like yeah. That whole weekend, we went to the hockey game with Dorfman, the guy that owns the club.
Right.
So we went out there. I mean, the dude is just – he's fucking ice.
You see, what you see is what you get on TV.
Dude, yeah. He's such a cool dude, man.
That's awesome.
Really man. Cool, man. And
well, no wonder all these good things happen for him, man.
Yeah, it's yeah, honest. Man. He's such – and I'm not just saying that. Yep. Like, you know me. If I didn't like him, I wouldn't just bring it up.
Totally.
And so,
especially because he listens to this podcast.
So. Yeah, I'm sure he's listening now.
No, every.
But so anyway, this is like kind of one of my weirder stories. Like this would be a couch story. So I get there.
Well, let me tell you. So Brenner, let me touch you up here. So it's good to have you on the show here. So
hey, Jay Leno. All right.
Yeah, you were in Zanyth apparently. That right? You were in Zanyth. Yeah, Zanyth. And then in Tennessee. Then we're
in Nashville.
Yeah.
Have you seen my car?
42% of the cars in Nashville. Yeah, it's a new statistic.
So anyway, so I get up there and I see cameras everywhere, right? Like television cameras, and the place is packed. Now. You know, this is the first night I get there, right. and I go to Dorfman. I says, I thought they're not advertising the show. He's like, no, they're not. He's like, CBS is doing this show called Hidden Talents of the Stars.
What?
And Clint Black is going to go up and do 10 minutes. So I'm like, all right. So the show starts, and it's packed. It was packed because I would honestly say if there were 300 people in there, and this is back then, I would, without, you know, exaggerating, I would say maybe 50 at that time knew who I was.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. So, how early on was this?
Huh? This was about 4 years ago, years ago. Okay. It was way before Jimmy got the show. It was right before that, maybe a year before that.
He just left SNL maybe or something?
Yeah, it was somewhere
Well, because I remember Jimmy did the road with you. I think he went out with Owen Benjamin
Owen
a few
Benjamin
times.
Too, yeah.
And then he was like really getting stuff together for the show, so that's probably why.
So anyway, this was a Wednesday, Thursday. So
cameras everywhere.
Cameras everywhere. So now I get there, and they tell me Clint Black's going on. So the MC was only allowed to do not even a minute. Like he walks in, says a joke. He's like, "Look, we got to get the show going. Shit. The place is packed.
Yeah, people are ready to go." They
and
want.
He's like, he goes, "Yeah, they're." He goes, "Ladies, but nobody know who's there. You understand? Nobody knows."
Wow. So the audience, they're there for
it
a
was
show
all a
you
surprise,
and...
right?
Wow.
And the network
are
had
people
brought
looking
people
around
in.
Like cameras, like what the?
Yeah,
fuck's going
everybody's
on?
Wondering what's going on.
Oh, so there's a little anticipation
right.
building.
Mm-hmm. So now, they go, ladies and gentlemen,
Alan Thicke. That would have been a fucking.
So they go, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Clint Black. So everybody's clapping, like, wow, he's got the same name as the country singer. Then he walked out, and they went fucking
Jesus,
crazy. They're going,
man.
Oh my God.
And because he's God there. It's
yeah.
Nashville.
And you know how country singers are. They always have to introduce himself, their first and last name. He's like, hi, I'm Clint Black. It's like, we know who you are, motherfucker. And again, awesome dude. And let me tell you something. He killed. Now, he was reading jokes, but he had
He did stand-up?
Yeah, 10 minutes. You're not paying attention to the story. It's Hidden Talents of the Stars.
Yo, Hidden Talents, he's a fucking country music
right?
singer. I thought
and
maybe
his hidden talent is stand-up.
Fair enough.
There you go.
So he did 10 minutes, and you know, because he has the stage persona.
Sure.
Anyways, you know what
he
I'm saying?
He knows how to perform.
Yeah, dude.
And there, he's got the We Love You So Much already going
dude,
for him.
Dude, it was, and I mean, he did great, and he was really funny, man, really charming. So he gets off stage, and people start to get up to go, and the MC's like, no, wait, guys, you're going to have to stay seated. He has to leave. He's not going to stick around. He has to go. But we have another special guest, and you're going to be glad that you were here.
Were people getting up to fucking go get pictures and shit with
him? Yeah. He's okay. Like, ladies and gentlemen, from Saturday Night Live, Mr. Jimmy Fallon. Everybody's like, get the fuck out of here. So then Jimmy Fallon comes out, and he does 20 minutes.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
he
yeah.
did, you know, and he fucking,
doing
you know,
impression,
did
songs.
Killed
it,
right? And they're all fucking like, holy shit. Then the
Who's
guy's
next,
like,
Moses?
Yeah, he's like, so the next guy, you know, this next guy, now we're going to bring a headliner out. 14 of you may have seen him. And I'm thinking, Jesus, what do you want to bring Willie Nelson up next?
Yeah, exactly.
Why don't you dig up Pryor?
Yeah, what are you thinking as you're back? I mean, you're pumped for the show because this is happening.
Well,
but...
I'm used to, I mean, look, in L.A., this isn't a big deal.
Right.
In L.A., you follow everybody anywhere.
Yeah, because you're a Comedy Store alum, and the Comedy Store, you never know who's going to stop
any
by.
Of these
anywhere,
clubs.
Man, right?
Well, my opening line was, you know, how do you think it feels to be me?
Of course. You got to do that, though.
And then they were, you know, and it's one of the few times I automatically had the audience on my side, but it was a great show. But,
you crushed, right? It was great.
Yeah, it was a good time, man. And afterwards was even better. I had a couple friends that play for the Titans. My one friend, Mike Roos, he's a really big fan of stand-up. We all went out that night, and there's this country singers called Big and Rich.
Yeah.
And they have, like, an after hours. And we went – it's like a private club, and we went there, and Fallon was, like, playing the guitar. I was playing the drums. We only had one stick, so I was pretty much the drummer from Def Leppard. And then and we it was one of the best times I had all weekend, man. And,
oh, that's awesome.
And then I got to meet Clint Black, which was really cool. And me and Jimmy stayed friends. We stayed in touch.
For real?
Yeah, man. He's
fucking, how can we get you on that show, man? Are you...
It's you know how that shit
yeah,
works.
Yeah, of course, but I mean
you know
like,
how that shit works. I mean I've you know, it's, I don't yep. you know how yeah, that yeah, works, yeah. man. He just,
whatever, you staying in touch is cool enough, and then when you know when those opportunities pop up where they can.
But I'll be honest with you, man, and I gotta be honest with you. I don't look at shit like that, and I never have, man.
Well, yeah, because in that, and you don't want Fallon to think that you just talk to him in anticipation
man.
And hope.
It, that wasn't it. He knew. We had kind of similar backgrounds, like the same music and stuff. And
well, right.
I mean, you know, it's one of a thousand that we've all met.
Right.
Sure.
You know, either working on something, or especially in comedy. I mean, every stand up knows each other. You know what I mean? And you know, it's a small world, man.
Yeah, other absolutely. Dudes. Who was the first guy that you can remember like having to follow in a situation that was like somewhat daunting when you're like, you know, maybe you...
Dice brought me the first time Dice brought me up. I was in awe, man. Cause he's another great guy, man.
You're from New Jersey. And so that whole thing was just,
well, no, just being a kid. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But watching him, you know, Dice to me,
sell out
and
the
not only is he bringing you up, but he
didn't know who I was, which made it even worse at the time. And I got it on tape. I actually was recording
That's
my
incredible.
Set that night.
Oh, no
and
shit.
I remember I sent it to my brother so he could hear it when Dice brought me up. But he's like, who's next? And they're like, Brett Ernst. He's like, who? Like, Brett. He's like, Brent? Who the hell's Brent? And he goes, what kind of name is Brent? And then I'm like, and I'm starting to laugh. And he's looking over and he goes, I know. I've seen you around. What have you done? And I'm like, I don't know.
Oh, my God.
He's like, hey, how tall are you? I go, oh, I don't know, just a little under 6'2". How much you weigh? About 195. He's like, there's his intro.
Dude, that's incredible.
He's 6'2", 195.
Yeah, dude, I was dying laughing, man.
Well, sure. That it's got, but also, what sets up the crowd better than, who's this guy?
Yeah, it was awesome. Another time, Chris Rock got off. And the whole audience just left to go see him.
Of course,
he's a warrior. That's guy.
Yeah,
I mean that guy comes in.
Still
he doesn't run the light.
Every night. Nope.
Doesn't mm-hmm. you know? He's such a comics comic.
Yo, sure. He popped in on a show. I was hosting at the Improv where it was Spade's show, and he goes, Rock's gonna do some time. He goes up there. He goes, he'll probably just do like 15. He
yeah.
did fucking like 12. And then started to do like some last bit, and then he just goes, you know, man, I got like this isn't my show, and he got off, and it was, you know.
Dude, he's really a cool dude. My buddy Guido'd him. We got 2 minutes left on the show.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, you know, no,
we're going over.
Yeah, I'll give you 8 more minutes.
You're darn right,
no,
we do.
No. We started at like 3:10, so we're going to like 4:10. Yeah.
Darn right. We're going
now. We're going to 4:11 because it's
too
late
in the interruption.
Like
10 after.
It's 52 minutes an episode, so you guys.
We're going long. We're going long with Mr. Bretter.
52 an episode.
Yeah. Well, fine.
Right. So we'll go till when?
Till 2 after.
But yeah, okay. But like that's when you say that you have these kinds of relationships. I look at the relationship that you have like with Vince Vaughn, who's one of like the top stars on the planet, and
well,
you're not.
Yeah, it's like, you know, here's the thing, man, is that, you know, everybody, what is anybody gonna do? That, you know, it's a different realm. It's like, you know, the where people help you is if they take you to open forum or, you know, you can learn business
sure.
things from people, you know. It's not like
you've been.
It's not like the 50s. I'm going to make you a star. I'm going to give you a break. See, man, you know, it doesn't work that way. And you can't expect it to, man.
Sure.
I just put my work in, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I want to ask you that, too, because you're, you know, you've been doing it. What did you say, 15 years?
Yeah.
And you're still, like, up every night, and you're hitting the road and constantly coming up with new shit. And, like, that's really, you know, I'm fucking 7 years in and looking at you grinding like that. And, like, you've gotten opportunities here and there. You, you know, are a show away from fucking being a household name. And everybody thinks that and knows
that. This could
be
the show.
This will be the show. Let's start using positive words.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't know if you know this.
There's your problem right there.
You're on the same show that Jaleel White, Steve Urkel himself was on. If we're not star makers, I don't know who the fuck
That's
is.
Enough.
Yeah, we're gonna make his career. But like, how do you stay? It's inspiring to fucking see you just still grinding and coming up with new shit. And fuck, man, you know, you were great when I met you, but shit, man, I saw you at the Improv like 3 weeks ago, and I was just fucking like, it was overwhelming how just you know. The crowd was looking up, you know, you had them in the palm of your hands, and it was all this shit I hadn't seen before. And how do you keep yourself?
I honestly, man, I
you just love
I
it that much.
I just love it, man. Well, I love everything about it. Yeah. I don't know if I could do anything. I mean,
are you content if you just if no acting opportunities come about in the next, you know, 5-10 years in stand up?
I mean,
or you want the other shit?
You want the other shit only because it's another form of what we do. Right. I can't explain it. It's like,
and it opens up more opportunities for stand up, obviously.
Yeah, there. But it's still fun. Like, you know, if I've like. I've had a few pilots that never went, you know, which is that's always the name of the game. After you get your first one, you're like, yeah,
I'm gonna be a star now, and then it gets rejected, so you're like, oh, this is what happens.
Again, though, I love that work. I love the work, and I'm not trying to be like, it's not about. It's really not. I mean, I don't want to sound corny because the big payoff. If you're good at what you do, then there is the notoriety of it.
Sure.
It comes. It's like. If you meet a girl you really love and you really care about, eventually the sex is going to happen.
Right.
But if you're just getting into it just for sex, then it's never going to be fulfilling because eventually, you know what I mean? It's the same
thing. It's a great analogy.
With you know, you and with stand up, I've always loved it. I love the clubs and
the whole process.
Yeah. Now the Wednesdays through Sunday get a little taxing. I could do a nice Thursday through Saturday every. You know what I mean?
But you know, those even for me better. At this point, but you know, yeah. I'm just starting to like get headline spots. So even for me, like in the whole process, like. You know, I was talking to Brad about this. Like, you know, even just getting enough material to headline is one thing, but then the fucking, and you've mastered this, but having a beginning, middle, and end, and figuring out, you know, what to open with and what's going to be in the middle part to keep them, you know, going, but not crushing for straight 45, right? Because you don't want to be, like, you have
to. Well, you just, it comes to a point, like, I did something in Chicago on the Late Show Friday, and I just got in this political rant. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why I did it. I just felt like it. And,
how'd the crowd respond to it?
It was, I was getting applauses, but it wasn't funny. Hmm. I was just pretty much saying, oh, everybody's full of shit, which is pretty much not the most brilliant observation, right, but you know.
Well, we haven't gone down that road yet, but if you want to spat a couple political tidbits.
I just was going off, and I just remember going, there comes times when in your act when you're doing it long enough where you feel yourself just get taken into this different direction than you're usually used to, you know? And and that's the thing with stand-up that I love. It's always a work in progress. Yeah. It's never...
Yeah, you've never mastered it. And just kind of like, if you haven't done it for a while, it's like working out. Like, if you don't bench, like, every other day for... Yeah. If you take, like, a month off, you're not going to be as strong as you were when you started. And stand-up's that thing where you have to keep working out. I've had times where it's even 2 weeks go by and I don't go on stage. And then the first time I get up, it's like, wait, what am I doing here? Like, it's
yeah,
not...
Yeah, you have to get your bearings back. Yeah. You know what else is cool? Is going on the road and seeing the local talent, man.
Yeah,
sure.
Especially Chicago. Chicago's got a dope pedigree.
That's what I keep hearing.
Seattle, yep. has a nice pedigree too.
Who was up there when you did the parlor?
When
I was the house host, Jay, right?
Of course, Jay Hollingsworth.
Big Irish
Big Jay.
Jay, he's that dude.
And what's interesting too about, like, you know, he's I think 40, and just started like a couple
he's
years
over.
Ago.
He's over that.
Yeah,
he's older.
And like, what's your take on guys that start that late in the game?
Doesn't matter.
No.
No,
well, hey, Rodney Dangerfield started kicking ass at age 59. Like, really started. He took 15 years off.
I mean, he's hustling. Really, he's fucking getting up every night, and he's, you know, writing all the time and shit.
I mean, stand up. It's one of those things where it doesn't matter, man.
You don't think the business is like?
If you're funny, you're funny, man.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
There's a place for everybody.
Yeah, of course. I mean, now the years, like, you know, you have to put those years in. You have to marinate in the art form for a while. Like, you can't just pop. People who just – the stand-up, you can't fake it.
And that's the biggest, I think, misconception of people is the impatience of – especially being out here, man. And I was like that, and you actually were instrumental, man. Like, when we went to La Jolla, remember I was there with you and Scolaro? It was the first time we went down there. And I was, like, freaking out about not getting, like, Montreal. And I was like, I'm ready for a fucking half hour. Fucking 2.5 years in, I'm like, fucking, you know. Yeah. You somehow end up on a show that Dane Cook pops in on. So you're like, I was fucking performing with Dane tonight, man. I'm ready to go. You know, you just get tricked into thinking all that shit. But then you just were like, yo, man, keep writing. Get funny. Like, just keep getting better. And the other shit will just happen when it's supposed to happen. And, like, no joke, man. Like, people talk about just, like... You know, you get pieces of advice like that, and you can take it or leave it. But, like, dude, it was like I quote that like to other people, younger comics that I see in the same boat from you, because it literally was just it resonated in that moment, and I like have not like showcased.
You don't even realize how young you like even all like I'm still considered a young comic.
Yeah,
15 you know? Years
yeah.
in, young,
you're still
young
considered
guy.
A young yeah, comic, yeah. man. And yeah. It's not. It's you just can't fake this, man.
Sure.
People, you can trick people. But you can't fake it.
Yeah.
And you know.
Especially if you're doing the hour set. Like, if you're doing a like, if Clint Black had to do more than you know, like he did 10 minutes, and the crowd will give you 10 minutes, plus he had material, and he was reading it, and it was Clint Black, and yeah. But if he was doing it for 25.
But I will say this, though, and you know, not even saying he did very well, but it was those years of being on stage.
Yeah.
That's
what you can't
that's
fake.
That's what you can't fake.
Mm-hmm. And even now, though he hadn't done stand-up, he was so confident.
Yeah, he could have definitely went up and told a couple stories. And it was the same thing with Vince when he did our shows.
Yeah.
When he hosted, man, he was just so natural.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And there is something to that.
Performing, it's got to be more like fucking 80% just being charming and likable and 20%
I think it's just being comfortable. I think it is sooner or later. Right. Like if you're a prick in real life, you can only fake that so long, yep. And it'll come out on stage. Yep. If you're a naturally good dude or you know, a solid girl, you know what I mean, a good woman, you could tell when the way it comes out, how you'll present yourself on stage.
Totally. And it's interesting you bring that up, just the years of performing helping, because now you see guys like wrestlers, like Roddy Piper goes on stage, Mick Foley, Mankind, he goes on stage, and is it Carlin-esque stuff? No, but it's you can sit there and enjoy it.
Yeah, I've opened for both of them. I did Mankind at the Improv, and I did a couple of shows with Roddy. I do his podcast here. Cool. That guy, you ever see his? Now here's the thing: I actually had him tape an intro for my website. It was here actually, but before I was
years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, "Are you ready?" I says, "Yeah." And he goes, "This is Rowdy Rowdy." And he just starts getting into it.
He just gets into the character.
And I'm looking at him, and you can see my face. I'm like, I can't fucking believe Roddy Piper's here. You know what I mean? But, like, it was a one take, and he just was like, you know. And that's what they do, man. Those wrestlers. And I hosted professional wrestling on MTV for a season.
What?
Oh, that's right.
WSX.
Yes, I remember that.
Let me tell you something,
shit.
Man.
With Vampiro was in there.
Yeah, Vampiro and Shawn Mike, X-Pac.
Yeah.
Was a Slim Jim guy there? That's the extent of my wrestling
knowledge. Randy Macho Man Savage. Now, I'm a big wrestling fan, man.
Huge?
But yeah, huge.
Yeah,
so that was an incredible. I mean, host a.
That's I loved everything about it.
And, I remember that.
But when you listen to these wrestlers talk, man, and you listen to them
about what?
Just about their lives. It's so similar to comedy.
So they're very open. They'll engage immediately in just the trials and tribulations.
Well, because like you say, it's so similar to comedy. They're on the road frequently.
You hear the conversations.
You're poor forever.
And physically taking a fucking beating. I mean, like, I guess we are kind of like you. Maybe, you Wednesday to Sunday in Tahoe, maybe you eat a couple too many chicken fingers.
If you drink too much.
Yeah. But I mean,
you have sex without rubbers, you're gonna really put some damage to your body as a comic. If you're getting high and knocking on strangers' doors for weed, some degenerate.
You can knock it all you want, but I just crossed number 16 off my bucket list.
There you go.
No, but like you'll hear these guys talk like, hey, man, there's a matchup in Modesto. You want to go? They pay $200 a set. And the guy's like, you mind driving?
Jesus.
My car won't make it. You know, it's the same conversation.
Same thing.
And then, and then they're driving back the same way we are about like, man, that crowd just fucked. They didn't feel my relationship tonight. And they're like, man, that crowd didn't feel when my knee shattered in 9 places.
And every guy I worked with on that show, man. You know, you'll never hear me say a bad thing about anybody, but I'll be indifferent if I don't like things. Mm. I won't even mention it. So whenever I bring stuff up, it's always like, I'm not sugarcoating it.
Sure.
Awesome, bro. Just all heart, man. Every guy on that show, every one of those wrestlers, man.
We gotta get
and even
Roddy on the podcast, man.
Even off off the match, just the way they put so much into what they do, man. And it's such
you're
a
big
passion.
On that, right? You're big on. I mean, you just
I'm big on
like
passion,
you,
man.
Yeah,
life's. I mean, really, it's not about. You want to provide for your family. I'm not saying that, but that's not what it's about, man. It's about just, doing what you love to do. And there are guys that aren't like that. There are guys that are more content. But it's just, just be it. Whatever makes you happy.
Well, dude, that's why you're fucking,
you're killing it, Brad, bro.
Man. I was like, man, we both put you up in the top echelon of, top 5 guys working today, man. You guys, throw us some tour dates because you're on the road a lot right now.
Yeah,
right?
Next week I'm in San Antonio at the Laugh Out Loud Lounge. Have you done that room?
Yeah.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's fun.
It's my first time in.
Oh, yeah.
And then you could catch me tomorrow night at 10 o'clock on this same network doing the Brett Ernst Show.
Yeah.
Brett Ernst Show on the GoCast Network. And you're on iTunes already?
So yeah, I'm on iTunes. You can type that in. And my American Comic album's available as well.
And let me tell the people out there, If Brett Ernst is coming to your town, you see Brett Ernst.
There's not a guy will not go vouch for more comedically right now, man. We were here at Lovitz, man. You did a show one night. I think we almost went like a little over 2 hours, and it was fucking packed, and everybody stayed.
Killed.
And I remember getting up there at the end being like, you guys don't even know what you were a part of tonight. Like, this doesn't happen all the time.
You kill it every night. And here's also the thing is some people going, Brett Ernst hasn't been in a major movie. I don't know who he is. Well, guess what? You're on stage because you're funny.
Yeah.
You're not there because you were in a movie that – and so then you just put your name on the marquee. You could sell fucking boatloads of tickets. You're there because you earned it.
I was in 300. I was number 294. Yeah, I don't know if you saw it.
I know I did. You had that one line. You went back. You were like, hey, I just –
Brett hurt. Stab me!
Yeah. Dude, imagine being that guy and getting your line cut.
Yeah.
But Twitter, is it...
Brett Ernst, B-R-E-T-E-R-N-S-T. You go to bretternst.com. Brett with one T, E-R-N-S-T.
Perfect. Find me at Adam Ray Comedy. Videos at AdamRayTV.com. I'll be at the Vegas Improv November 27th through December 2nd.
There you go. Me at Funny Brad on Twitter, BradWilliamsComedy.com. I'm going to take some time off in December, but I've already got like 23 dates booked in 2013, so look that shit up.
High Pockets tour.
High Pockets.
Any High Pockets, come get yourself.
Come get yourself a strong dwarf root, Brett Ernst.
Thank you for coming out,
Adam Ray, Brad Williams. This has been About Last Night. Please try to remember our names in the morning.
Go Cast Network.
So didn't matter anymore. I say she never cared and that she never will. Do it all again. I guess I'll have to wait until then. If I get drunk, well, I'll pass out on the floor now, baby. You won't bother me no more. And if you're drinking, well, you know that you're my friend and I'll
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.